The first reading for this evening is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 27. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading for this evening is from Luke chapter 27, verses 7 through 20. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Tonight, Maundy Thursday, always the night in which we receive the sacrament. I would say to you something that is similar to something that's said in a Seder meal. This night is not like every other night. It's a little different tonight. Our focus is much different than what a Seder would be about, because what we're remembering is what has already come for us, and he who is coming again. And we receive this body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, to strengthen us in our spirits, to grant us that forgiveness, and to promise us life everlasting. Those are the three things that I will typically say when I add something to our understanding about this forgiveness of sins and that we receive through the Holy Communion. It's something that's special for us. Tomorrow night, we focus on the death of Christ and how this sacrament came to be something even more meaningful for us, because Jesus was truly taken away, and it had an understanding given to us that, as he said, he wouldn't receive it again with us until he returned. Well, that's why, because Jesus had died the next night and then on the third day rose. Tomorrow we'll have the opportunity to actually nail our sins individually to the cross. And then, of course, we don't go through a Maundy Thursday service and a Good Friday service without also attending the joyous resurrection on Easter morn, because what a shame it would be if we were lost in our sins and thought that the Savior was not alive, when we know that he is alive. Even though we have a more somber note now, we know that Sunday's coming. After 25 years of looking at these texts for Maundy Thursday, and actually more than that when you add in the sim days and and pre-sem things, but of actually having to study them for the purpose of service, of worship, of sermons for 25 plus years now, I've preached on about every aspect I think I could regarding what these texts really bring us and what they have to say. And I was struggling with what could I bring fresh to you that I have not shared in the past. And I'm going, Lord, it's up to you because I'm not getting it. And the Lord is the one that's going to always provide, hopefully. And as I considered these texts, first of all, I struggled with even a sermon title because I'm going, I'm looking back at all these years of sermon titles, and I'm going, I don't want to use. I don't want to go back on that. I don't want to use one of these old things. I want something new, something different, not the same old, something unique. And then the Lord just said, "Well, it's right in front of you," and it was. It was there in the text the whole time, and I hadn't recognized it because the text itself was what was delivering the understanding that. The same old is what the text is addressing for us tonight. Because Hebrews talks about not giving up meeting together. We know that that's something that we're admonished to understand and to take to heart. And the gospel reminds us of the Lord's Supper and the importance that we have in never forsaking this supper. And those thoughts are the thoughts that we need to be dealing with in our lives still today. And we treat them like they're the same old, same old. There's the problem. Why do people give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing? Because it's always the same thing. I had a confirman say that to me many years ago. This was in a previous congregation. He's probably married and has kids of his own by now. But he said, Pastor, your sermons are always the same. You talk about the fact that we're sinners and that we need Jesus and that we're forgiven in Jesus. And I said, you're ready to be confirmed. That's all it takes. Don't get any ideas, kids. I still have a few more things to throw at you. But he was right. That's what it was. It's the same old thing. But that same old thing is what we needed to hear. The message hasn't changed in 2,000 years. But hopefully, for us, every time we pick up the scriptures and every time we sing that hymn and every time we offer that prayer to God, it's something new for us in our spirit, in our hearts, because every time God comes to us, that is something new for us. Every time God grants us forgiveness, it's something new for us. We need that forgiveness continually. And if it weren't for that new forgiveness, if we were relying on what was past, then we've forgotten about the future and what God wants to show us and where God wants to take us. Because we need the forgiveness of sins today, tonight, as much as we needed it the first time we heard about it. We need the forgiveness of sins tonight as much as those disciples needed it almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus pronounced it to them. But too many people have given up on the habit of meeting together. And they don't hear about that forgiveness any longer. And they also don't hear about those sins any longer. And without that law and gospel in their life, they tend to fall more in the line of the law, but not in following it, and following away from it, and doing their own thing. Perhaps it's what that same old has come to be in some lives for those that don't attend worship. This is that statement where, you know, you're preaching to the choir, right? Because who comes to a Maundy Thursday service but those that are regular church folks, right? But it's important for us to remember again that we are called not to forsake this time. This is something special. Because that passage in Hebrews even goes on to say that if we do that, we can come to a point where there's no forgiveness of sins left for us because we fall so far away from that word of God. And if we forsake that sacrament, then we certainly are falling away from what God intends for us to have and to hold in our lives. But we have the same old church, the same old message, same old worship. And if that's the case that we feel we're in, then and I'm sorry to say, but that's a very sad state for someone to be in. Because the Word is new every time we pick it up. It regenerates us. It gives us hope. And every time we come to worship, it should be something new for us, because it's God's love revealed to us that we share. We need to receive this every single day. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, it says in Lamentations chapter 3. His love never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. That's what we need to remember, that mercy of God comes to us new again, new today. If we've been affected by the idea of the same old with church, then perhaps we think we've heard the story enough times that we know it so well there's nothing else for us to learn. I would set myself as an example that's probably not the case for you, because after 25 years of studying these texts, God gave me a new direction to go tonight that I had not recognized in those texts before. Perhaps we feel like we're already living it, breathing it, following it as much as we can or should. You know, and who am I to say that you're not? Perhaps you are in your life. But I'd be willing to say that's not the case for all of us. For most of us, possibly. And probably, certainly, I would say not for me. I can follow the Lord more faithfully than I have in my life. I need to follow Him more faithfully. And not just parts of me and parts of His Word, but all of me and all of His Word. When we think of our daily routines, often the same old isn't something that bugs us as much. Now, I know some humdrum job, day in, day out stuff, I know. But that's not the case for a lot of folks. They enjoy their daily routines, daily work, daily school, those common things that we have, and even in retirement, those daily patterns, whether it's in volunteer activities and helping with grandkids and in things that you do around the house or in places that you go or people you hang out with, we don't think much of that same old as being a problem. But then we get to Sunday morning in church. And the attendance for church on a regular basis just is not what it used to be. And I will say that with tonight, I'm as joy-filled as I always am for our congregation, because, and as I shared with some folks just before the service began, I can guarantee you there are more people in worship here tonight than there are in congregations over four times our size in many places. And that would be pointing fingers specifically at Lutherans who make it a point to meet on these special services. Some of them just do not have the people come out. They do not have the commitment. I can remember conversations with some old-time church members in the past. And one in particular was a dear lady in my very first congregation. She's long since sainted now. Her name was Martha Wingy. Martha Wingy lived out on a farm 10 miles away from the church out in the country, and was the last survivor of her family. All of her sisters had died. She was the eldest of them all. All of her sisters had died. Her brother had died. Her mother and father had died. So she lived out there in this two-story home that was still heated by wood, because she didn't trust gas. Gas is dangerous. And fire's not with her, but and the only water she had was from the water that was collected by the cistern, from the rainwater. And she did have electricity in the house, although she didn't trust it as well either. She said sometimes they turned the electricity up or down on her, and it made the clock go faster or slower, so she never knew. But along with all of the fun of that I had in getting to know and loving Martha was one thing in particular when she would talk to me about going to church and how much she truly missed it. And she didn't say she missed it like some people say, oh, I really wish I could get to church. Yeah, that's why I saw you at Walmart and Hallmark and out eating at Furs this past week, right? But church is too hard to make it to. Uh-huh. Not for Martha. She could barely get around, and it would be too much for her to come. But Martha would talk about when she was a little girl and taking care of her sisters and her brother and having to help with mom and dad and all the things that they did, and living 10 miles away from the church, getting up early, early, early Sunday morning, putting on the clothes that hung on hangers in the hallway, putting on their Sunday best, and then getting on the wagon and riding the wagon into church. And how long does it take on a wagon ride to get 10 miles down these old dirt roads? Going to worship was never a question. It's what we did. And then we came back from church. After they would come back, first thing they would do was take off their Sunday clothes, put them back on the hangers in the hall, and put on their work clothes and get after the things that needed to be done and the chores that had to be taken care of. And I thought, can you imagine people with that kind of commitment today? And actually, in that same congregation, I had a young man in sixth grade who had that kind of commitment, because his parents didn't go to church. And we didn't have somebody that we didn't know that he was doing this at first. Once we did, we took care of that. But he was walking a mile to church every time he came to church and walking a mile home all by himself, sixth grader, to go home. It was pouring down rain one Sunday morning, and he showed up drenched. And I said, what happened? You're soaking wet. He says, well, it was raining out there. I said, yeah, but it doesn't take that long to get out of a vehicle. He said, no, I walked. I said, you walked? And that's when I found out that he was walking back and forth all this time. We took care of that. But what an amazing heart that young man had. He even wanted to join the choir and did join the choir. He said, can I join the choir? I said, they're all adults in there. If you want to sing, you can join the choir. You can join the choir. You betcha you can join the choir. What a heart for God. We don't seem to make them like that much anymore. People that just can't imagine anything else that you would do on Sunday morning other than go to church, or any place else you would be on Sunday morning than in church. As uncommon as it was in those days to miss worship, it's now not common to have other things to do. Not uncommon to have other things to do on Sunday mornings, and so many other things that we do instead of worship. Perhaps we could say to each other, instead of the same old of the routines that you're involved with in the world, you could come and worship, try something different, and receive the sacrament, as God has said that we should do often, and sing God's praises and pray to Him and develop that closer relationship with Christ. You see, those old things can be new again in our hearts and in our spirits. I mentioned Pastor Gebauer shared something with me today. He forwarded me an email. Barna is a big research company, and a lot of things on the trends and the developments and the patterns and the beliefs and the life of folks in the church. And the church is. And it noted in this paragraph that he sent, it said that it was shocking to him, it's shocking to me. 51% of people in church, churchgoers, 51% of churchgoers do not know what the Great Commission is. Now, before we comment, 6% aren't sure if they've heard the phrase the Great Commission. 6% of churchgoers. 25% said that they recognized the term but didn't know what it meant. And then only 17% said that they knew what the Great Commission was. I'm not even going to ask. What I'm going to say is, it's very clear in Matthew 28 that the Great Commission for us is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything Christ says, I have commanded. The Great Commission is for us to go into the world to make disciples, to tell them about Jesus. And hopefully that is something that we all fully understand and take to heart, because otherwise, coming here, even if we don't receive this as the same old, and worshiping God and receiving His sacrament and hearing our forgiveness and then going out the door, then what do you do with your life and your spirit the rest of the week? Do you pack it away in a box? That's where the Great Commission comes in. That's why we have those signs at our exits of the property. You're now entering the mission field. That's the purpose of those signs. The church that started those signs some 25 years ago is in Pineville, Louisiana. I had a call to that congregation once many years ago. It's when they told us about the alligators eating people's dogs and things like that, that we weren't so sure that was where we were called. lots of things. But that was the congregation that actually started that process of making those signs, and they sold them initially through Lutheran Layman League and Lutheran Hour Ministries. You're now entering the mission field. That's why we know that when we come in here, we come to worship. When we go out there, we go to serve. The servant's entrance is that door. We go out through the servant's entrance to serve in the world. Don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We need this because we need to be built up. We need to receive this word. We need to hear it again. We need to be strengthened in our spirit. Receive Holy Communion. Don't forsake the reception of that Holy Communion, because we know that we need to have that communion, that forgiveness of sins, and that strengthening of spirit, and that promise of life everlasting. And while you're at it, being filled with the word, remember that now we go out and we go into the world and we share the good news of the gospel of Christ. The only thing tonight that is truly the same old, is the forgiveness of sins, which is necessary because we are locked in the same old sins. And when the day comes that we don't commit the sins, we won't have to have the same old forgiveness announced to us all the time. But that day will be the day we're in heaven. Thanks be to God that His message never changes and is the same today as it has always been. But thanks be to God that His love for you is new every day. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our God. Amen.